On Calling Home this morning, Pep Tarr, who grew up in Auckland, his dad's from Te Awamutu and his mum is from Cambodia, and that's where we're heading, to the city of Phnom Penh, where Pep's been living for about 10 years. He has a very busy and successful life painting with his wife Lisa Mam, a Cambodian artist herself, and online we've got samples of their work for you to look at. They helped kickstart the Cambodian street art scene, and without even trying too hard, their works attracted interest from all around the world. Pep Tarr, hello.
Hello. Hi. How's it going?
You're actually Summer Pep, your full name, which means what?
So Summer Pep means equality in Cambodian.
What a cool name to have. And
thank you. Yeah.
How did you find yourself in Cambodia in the first place?
I came to visit every now and then because my mom actually moved back in the 90s.
Right.
Like, she did work out here and stuff, and because she never really wanted to leave, actually. It's just that when the war happened, like, you know, during the Khmer Rouge time, you know, she escaped with my dad, basically. Well, they had to, you know, people were being evacuated and everything. I came around back here in 2010, like, I came to Thailand and Cambodia, and I sort of ended up staying here because my artwork was always about blending my Cambodian side with my New Zealand side, and that's kind of what I visually talk about in my artwork. And I ended up staying out here because I met Lisa, and we actually got married, and we worked together and paint together.
Interesting family history. It was the Pearl of Asia, wasn't it, Phnom Penh?
Yes.
And then there were the terrible effects of revolution and war, and now it's just about the hippest destination around again, isn't it?
I don't know. I guess it is. I mean, I guess there has been a lot of tourism, and it does seem like that. You know, I guess people are quite friendly, pretty chilled out. I mean, I guess Cambodians, they, you know, they're able to speak English. They'll try and speak their language, you know, just for business.
I want to ask you about your art, because you do a lot of work and quite important work. What sort of a drawing style resulted from being an Auckland boy, but also having the Cambodian heritage? Because you've always had a definite style. I'd be interested in your take on that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was born in Auckland, but we also moved to Sydney, Australia as well. So we're going back and forth between Australia and New Zealand, but, you know, always end up back in New Zealand. And I guess early on as a teenager in Sydney, I got into graffiti, right? Graffiti art. And you know, some of my dad's ancestry is also Irish, right? So, you know, there's also that element of Celtic design. I guess it's work that's cultural, but I want to modernize it as well. It's like a new version.
Yeah, I understand.
Of all my cultural heritage, yeah. And also bringing in that graffiti art element, that street art element to it, you know, where I paint murals.
That definitive looping style of yours, full of colour and flourish, we can see examples online. People can go online and have a look on our website. So I won't try and describe it too much. But you do a lot of public artworks now with your wife, Lisa. How did the two of you meet?
At an event. She's both an artist, but she's also a dentist as well. At the same time, she also, like, as part-time work, she also hosted, like, events, like, as an MC. And so one of the events I got invited to, she was hosting as well. So, you know, we met there, and, you know, she had seen my art around Phnom Penh, and we just kind of worked together, combined stuff together. You know, we were just going to paint some murals for fun, right? And it actually got a lot of attention, and it led to exhibitions and commercial work. And yeah, I mean, that's just how it came about. And we started getting shows, not just in Cambodia, but in Thailand, even in the Maldives. We did stuff with the Guard Auction in France.
Wow.
We painted two hotels in Bangkok. Which are both hotels are like under the same brand, which is called Kachar Bed and Kachar Hotel.
We're talking to Pep Tarr on Calling Home. And when you say painting the hotels, just so the listeners fully understand, you, for example, in the Kachar Hotel, one of them, you painted all the lobby area, including all the staircase walls, all the way to the top, and a large mural on the roof as well, on the rooftop.
On the rooftop, yeah. That was for the the guy that owns Kachar Hotel, who's Thai, what his family property, he wanted to keep the old design of the actual building. And, you know, he just had the inside redone, and he approached me and Lisa to come and paint the hotel. It was just to paint the lobby, but he liked what we did in the lobby so much that he said, oh, can we paint the stairs? And then it went to, oh, can you paint the rooftop as well? And then when he opened up, the hotel did really well.
The two of you have also worked with quite a few big name brands like Stussy and Toyota and Coca-Cola and Air Asia. You designed the caps for Air Asia, didn't you? Oh, for their merchandise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I designed a hat and Lisa designed the travel pins. And, you know, my hat, I wanted to combine the New Zealand element too. You know, I used more or less designs and motifs that sort of more probably culturally connected to Cambodia, but in my own version. But then I wanted to put black, white, and red to kind of represent the Māori side of New Zealand, you know, because I also grew up in Huntly for a little bit as well. And, you know, I was always surrounded by Polynesian culture and Māori culture a lot. So, you know, that was a strong influence on me as well growing up.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't have been surrounded with so much in Huntly, no offence intended, but Cambodia, Phnom Penh, you've got tons of inspiration in the colours of the city. There is such colour in the buildings, isn't there?
It's true. Phnom Penh cityscape has truly changed, but yeah, you still have the old buildings around. You still have a few French colonial buildings around. It's a bustling city, basically, like a little bustling city. It's like almost like a mini Bangkok.
So the two of you are based in Phnom Penh, but you're obviously traveling quite a bit and you're doing really well, aren't you, artistically? You're doing really well. You're in demand.
Yeah, I mean, my art career really started in New Zealand, actually, and it was thanks to growing up in New Zealand. And you know, honestly, I never intended to really be an artist like what I'm doing now, because I just painted. Like, I didn't study painting or nothing like that. I just painted since I was young. I guess it got attention. And in New Zealand, and, you know, being in some art shows and people buying my artwork, and then it led to overseas exposure in the States, funny enough, in America, through seeing, you know, I just put stuff online and you know, I got contacted by like magazines in the States and even a magazine in China too, for that matter. And they were interested in what I was doing and sort of my blend of cultures, right? And that's what got attention and you know, and as it later on led to over here. And it's just really just doing what you love. And I think if you have a passion for what you're doing and you believe in what you're doing and you're not doing it, you're not thinking of money, the rest kind of just follows.
And it's lovely when it happens like that. So, all right, so the two of you get to travel. Can I ask you about your living in Phnom Penh itself?
I think the attraction for Cambodia, especially for foreigners and expats that live here now, they can live really well and they can earn decent money. Being an expat, you can live good. In terms of, you know, where the rent's not expensive, the food's not expensive, it's very manageable, right? And then you have the rest of Asia like at your doorstep. So in that sense, Phnom Penh or Cambodia is a good base. We just, you know, promote our art through Instagram and social media platforms, and I mean, everything that we do is just from word of mouth. Like, we do one thing and it just leads to another thing. I never like knock on anybody's door or anything. I just put our art out there and, you know, it just comes to us. So it's very lucky in that sense.
You are a lucky man.
I think so.
What do the two of you like to do? You know, when you're not working together and traveling together, what do you get up to socially in your downtime? You know, where do you go in town? What kind of a lifestyle do you manage to have?
I'm not super like social, but you know, we like to cook food. I like to go and, you know, pick up food and you know, make nice dishes. And you know, we like to just do some like basic stuff. Like, you can go, for example, you can go on a boat ride here in Phnom Penh. It's like a sunset cruise, and it's very cheap for Lisa to go on, but because I'm still seen as a foreigner, I pay $5. Like it's Ferris Fries, but it's cool. Like people go in there, you can grab a beer and just cruise around on the boat. We don't do anything too crazy.
The waterfront down by the Mekong River is very walkable, isn't it? It's a real promenading sort of place. You can just stroll along there.
Yeah, you can. And but you know, normally you would see like people exercising over there, and they have these like little. It's like you pay like, I don't know, something like the equivalent of 20 cents to join like a exercise group. So, you know, where they do dancing, people just selling like all types of like street food, like even like fried grasshoppers and all kinds of stuff.
I'm told you can get free range tarantula as street food.
Yeah, well, it's okay. So I guess it is a tarantula of some kind. So basically, this spider originally wasn't city folk that would eat this type of food, but during the Khmer Rouge time, a lot of city people, you know, who were pushed into the countryside, they learned to eat how, you know, rural people would eat. They don't eat the whole spider, but it might sound gross, but they eat the back of the spider because the spider, what it does, it eats a certain kind of, it actually lives in the ground and burrows itself. And it eats the tree roots. And so it's believed to have like some type of medical value to it. They tend to deep fry them, you know, but it's more like a snack food. Personally, I honestly like the street food scene in Bangkok, in Thailand, better because it's such a huge variety.
Yeah, yeah.
And Thai food is a lot more spicier. There's so many styles. But Cambodia, to truly get real Cambodian food, yeah, you would have to go to someone's home, family home. And, you know, so stuff like my mom would cook or my mother-in-law would cook.
The killing fields aren't far out of Phnom Penh, yeah? Have you ever been out there?
Yeah, I mean, I have. Well, you know, they keep it, you know, just to, you know, as remembrance and not to forget what happened in history, right? So, I mean, the killing fields in such as... It was actually everywhere, you know. I mean, what happened during the Khmer Rouge era, you know, I think they believe it goes up into 2 or 3 million that were killed. And that's had a huge impact on Cambodian society. And every Cambodian person was affected by this. You know, I mean, I never met my grandparents on my Cambodian side because, you know, they were killed, you know, during that time. And same as Lisa, she's never met her grandparents either.
No, it's sad.
Yeah, so, you know, there is that aspect, you know, people lost, you know, huge family. Some people lost all their family. I mean, it's something that overseas Cambodia is known for, you know, it's pretty much like the Khmer Rouge and Angkor Wat, right? But I think within Cambodia, people have like really wanted to move on, you know.
I'm sure they
have. And it's not something that people should forget. And it's something very important for people to remember because you don't want history repeating itself.
Let me ask you a few more things. Do your New Zealand relatives come up from Auckland to visit at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they do.
What direction would you point them in? What would you say to do?
There's like a silk island where they actually weave silk with the silkworms.
Wow.
And there's a royal palace, of course. And I mean, it's not like Bangkok where you got like huge shopping malls and that type of thing, right?
Are you there to stay now?
Well, for the meantime, you know, for me, I just like go with the flow. And I really do want to come back and with Lisa and do something artistically do something in New Zealand. I don't know. I mean, we may end up back in New Zealand. Who knows at this stage, you know? But for the meantime, over here, it's cool, you know? It's just really cool out here.
Yeah, I can tell it's cool. And you are hot. Hey, lovely to chat to you. Thank you very much for your time and for telling us about your fascinating life and professional and private in Phnom Penh. It's great to hear about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on your radio show.
Piep Ta calling home. And I hope Piep's New Zealand whānau enjoyed the chat. He thought they might be listening, and especially his daughter Paiwa, who's studying at Auckland Uni.